Good morning.
Morning. See, good. Babe, this isn't working.
Yeah, looks like you're in good shape there. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
And Leo, how are you? You can go ahead and unmute yourself if you want to speak. So everybody test out their ability to speak there. Mylin, it looks like, Mylin, sorry, I'm mispronouncing your name.
That's okay. Good morning.
Good morning. There you are.
Yeah, hi. Just trying to figure out connecting. That's all. That's why I muted.
Okay. Sounds good. I do like feedback as we go along. There are six in this class. One person lives in Robbinsdale, and her power went out last night with the storms. So it was unclear last night whether or not she'd be able to join. But we should have at least one more joining. Everybody weathered the storm just fine last night?
Far so good.
Good. Yeah, a lot of people without power. So we got about another minute left and about two more people wanting to join. But what you should have in front of you is the handout that I sent you, if there are questions on it that you want to get to later. Also, the two scripts, the Invisalign and the New Wonder Smart White scripts. We're going to use those for script analysis today. And really, that's all you need to have. And something to take notes on. And your water. I'll give a break a little later. Because first thing in the morning, everybody needs a break mid-morning, right? All right. It's 10:30. I'm going to go ahead and begin. And I'll just keep watching for anybody else who's joining. But before I get to the meat, and I'm a vegan, by the way, so that's just an expression. let's everybody say a little bit about who they are and why they're here. Who wants to go first? Go ahead, Leo. Oh,
so you guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Hi, everyone. My name is Leo Don. For reasons why I'm here, I just think it's really cool, and I just want to have fun with it. You know, that's pretty much it. No, really, nothing really fancy about it or whatever.
Well, it is really fun, but I'm still going to take you really seriously and make you do this well.
Yeah, of course.
That's how I roll. Anyway, thanks, Leo. Who's next? Go ahead, Rich. Oh,
Rich, got you.
Sure. Hi, I'm Rich Thompson. I have a passion for music and recording, and just during this COVID time, but, you know, I've got the equipment. Don't know that I have the voice and the skills, but it seemed like a good time to start. So glad to be here.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rich. Kim, did you want to go next?
Yes. Hi. Hi, I'm Kim. I have come onto this course to do something new, to try something new. Like Leo, I also want to have fun with it because I think if we have fun with something, the likelihood of us wanting to do more of it and be good at it is greater. So as well as take it seriously. But that's pretty much where I'm coming from.
Well, I think that's a fantastic philosophy, and I totally agree. In fact, I agree so much that I would say that you're doing it wrong if you're not having fun.
Yeah.
And that's really not philosophy. That's just how this business is. It's a creative field, and it tends to be, I mean, people take it seriously, but it's very lighthearted as well.
Yeah, I think it's learning that lightheartedness, which is also going to be a bit of a challenge for me, but then I think that's why this is so important. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to have you do some silly scripts on your private.
Cool.
And probably some serious ones, too. We can start out with
Mylin. Cool.
Wonderful. And Mylin.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mylin Morara, and I have been doing a little bit of voiceover in Spanish. And I want to find out if it's possible for me to do it in English as well, because as you can tell, I have an accent. I was born and raised in Cuba. So I'm exploring just to see if this is something I can do in English as well. I really enjoy it, as you guys are talking about. This is like really fun, and I do like acting, that's my first passion. So I think this would be really helpful with acting as well, because it would teach me how to work with my tones and not be all the same all the time. So I think I'm just looking forward to learning script analysis and how to play with my voice.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mylene. And Patrick has joined us. Good morning, Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick, you may be muted if you're trying to speak. If you can unmute yourself, everyone's going around and just saying, you know, 30 seconds about who they are and why they're here. So, Patrick, can you confirm that you can hear and you're good to go? Hello. So, Patrick. All right, there may be something wrong with your mic. I can see that you are unmuted, but we can't hear you. So hopefully you can get that sorted out, because we definitely want you to be able to contribute too. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. I think everybody knows a bit about me. I've been doing voiceovers a very long time. In fact, it's been so long that my very first job was a film strip narration. It was in the 80s. And I had been doing TV and film acting, and my acting coach sent me on this audition for the film strip narration about the migratory birds of the Florida Everglades. And I booked it, and I loved it. And I knew I would anyway, and I just kept up with it. And I you know, I'm passionate about it. I love it, and I love training other people and seeing people being successful. So you might have guessed that about 6 months ago, we had a major change in how our business works. Whereas prior to that, it was very smart to have a home studio, and the people who booked the most work had home studios, but also had a talent agent. And the highest paid stuff was booked through a talent agent. And if you booked it through a talent agency, they would send you to one of the big studios downtown, like Audio Ruckus or Rumble, Undertone, Babylon, Aaron Stokes. Those are some of the really big ones. And then they would book you there, and that's where you would do it. And the agency would get the check and send you all but 10%. They would keep 10%. And that still happens, although the studio piece, not so much. Those big studios started giving mics to talent to have at home, the top talent that didn't already have a home studio. They just gave it to them so that they could still work with them. If they had an ISDN line, they would use that, or Source Connect is another way to go. ISDN is short for Integrated Services Digital Network, and it's very expensive, and it's not necessary anymore. It's just more like people that had it from way back. They were just sort of legacy, using it that way. But Source Connect is a new technology, newer technology that is over the internet. It's not cheap, but it's something that you can get more easily and work with. And you can also just rent it. You don't even have to own it. And that's for the highest paid stuff. But then there's other stuff that you don't even need the client to be on with you all the time, and you can just do the work that they send you by your email. And we'll get to all that. That's just meant to be more of an overview. Does anyone know the difference between commercial and industrial usage? Dictionary definition between commercial and industrial usage. Okay. Commercial means non-broadcast. I beg your pardon. Commercial means broadcast. And broadcast is radio and TV. So write that down. Commercial usage equals broadcast. And broadcast is radio and TV. And industrial is non-broadcast. And non-broadcast is everything that is not radio or TV. And that's a lot. 90% of all the work out there is non-broadcast. If you think of all the usage for how voice could be heard, there's a lot that is not radio or TV. Your GPS navigation system, that's non-broadcast usage. If you ever scan your own groceries at the grocery store and you hear, unexpected item in bagging area, that is also non-broadcast usage. So is e-learning and any type of tutorial that you might do for work, training videos, that kind of
stuff. Can you hear me?
Patrick! Yay!
Hey.
You made it.
Sorry about that. I thought it was, I don't know what was wrong, but I think it was on mute, so I had to fix on it. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I can hear you. I can hear everything you're saying. Everything you're saying, I can hear you.
Good deal. Well, did you want to go ahead and say 30 seconds about who you are and why you're here before I go get back to my commercial versus...
Sure. my name is Pat Lewis, and I live in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I want to get in voiceover. I've been told I have a really nice voice, and I kind of researched on voiceover actors and everything. I think it's just really cool. And the business part is what I was really drawn to, too. So that's what got me interested in trying to learn about this business and join in. So
great. Wonderful. Thanks so much. I'm glad you've confirmed that your mic works well.
Okay.
Glad you're here. All right. So when you're not speaking, if you could mute yourselves, that's good. But do pipe in. You know, unmute and speak up when you like. All right, but there's a lot of extraneous noise, so it's best to be as a matter of course. Okay, so back to commercial versus industrial. Commercial is broadcast, which is radio and TV. Industrial is non-broadcast, which is everything else. So if you are watching TV, let's say you're watching just a regular TV channel, you're watching a show and an ad comes on, right? That is commercial usage because it's radio, or sorry, it's TV. It's radio and TV. But let's say you watch a show on Hulu, right? Online. The same ad comes on, the same ad. It is industrial usage because it's online and it's not radio and TV. So that means that the talent who voiced that ad had to be paid for both commercial and industrial usage. This is all how we're paid, so it's good to be clear on what is the usage. So now that you are voiceover talent, and you tell people that you do this, which you should start doing right away, they might say, oh, that's great, I've got this gig for you, you know, what's your rate? Well, your rate is not based on your hourly. Your rate is based on what is the usage for the project. So we have linked to our website, in our website, to the Global Voice Acting Academy rate card, GVAA card. We link to it because people need to know this stuff sooner than they think. I used to think that people wouldn't need to know this information until they'd completed the class at least. Then I found out several years ago I had a student who, this is of course when we were all in person, the morning after the class she was taking the bus to work, and she just was talking to her seatmate about how fun the class was and how much she learned, and somebody overheard her and booked her before she got off the bus. So at that point, she called me up and said, oh, what do I charge? So now we have that on the website so you can always just figure it out. Sometimes it's a little tricky, and I find the GVAA card really, really useful for a lot of things. Some of the rates on it are a little tiny bit lower than typical Twin Cities rates, but others are higher. So it's a pretty good balance in there. Commercial versus industrial. Sometimes people think of industrial, they think that that means it's some kind of a tutorial or a work training video, and it could be. But as I mentioned before, it can also just be that it's an ad that is playing online and not on radio and TV. Making sense so far? Find out the usage so you know what to charge. Okay, is everybody here non-union? Is anybody union? The union being SAG-AFTRA. They merged a few years ago, the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. They merged a few years ago. So the union, if people are in a union for voiceover, that's the union, SAG-AFTRA. But everybody's non, right?
I'm SAG eligible.
Oh, you are? Cool. All right. And that might be your career, Mylene. That might be what you do eventually. Go ahead and join. For most people, it's best to stay non-union unless you have some reason that you can't. You get booked for something that's so huge that it makes sense to join. These contracts changed a lot over the years. So prior to 20 years ago, it made a lot of sense to do everything you could to join. At the time, it was just AFTRA for us. It made a lot of sense back then, but the contracts are very different now. Non-union people make as much money as union people. The difference is it's cheaper for producers, so they like to hire non-union people because they are not spending money that go into the union coffers for their pensions and health care and stuff like that. That kind of sucks for people who are union. But that's how the producers see it. So in this market, it's usually best to stay non-union. Now, Mylene, you mentioned you're from Florida or Cuba, and then you were in L.A. for a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still living there technically. I'm just here for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for all we knew, you could be there right now.
Yeah.
We have no idea. Yeah, so that's more a thing that people want to do if they do live in New York or L.A. In New York and L.A., generally speaking, you're not considered a professional unless you are union, and you can't get into the higher paid stuff in those markets. New York, L.A., and a little bit Chicago, too. But if you think about it, all three of those cities have shows in production all the time, except during a pandemic. But they all have shows in, you know, going in production all the time, which means that a talent who is a trained actor but doesn't have their union card yet can go in. They can audition to have a role called an under five. That's how many lines you have, under five. And you can perform that job for very little money, but you get your union card, and then you can go back, and now you're eligible to audition to bigger role that is union. So for an example, I'll just talk about in the New York market, generally speaking, Law and Order has been in production constantly for 25 years or something, all the various iterations of Law and Order. So has everybody seen Law and Order? At least once. No? It's kind of, yeah, not you, Leo? Yeah. It's kind of an old people show now. Because it's been around so long. But a typical scenario would be, the show opens and you see a couple, they're walking through Central Park, they're having a conversation, maybe about work, maybe about kids, and, they come across a body and they call 911. And then Mariska Hargitay shows up, and that's the gig. That's it. That's the gig. And that's how many lines they had under five. For a job like that, a talent would work the entire day. They get there before sunrise. They're done well after sundown. They're paid literally, and I'm not even joking about this, about 20 American dollars. That's it. But they get their union card. And now they can go back in and audition to be a criminal, or they can be a prosecutor, or whatever the show needs. And that's how somebody would earn their union card in a city where it's very important to have it. New York, LA, and a little bit of Chicago as well. People sometimes say, well, you definitely want to be union because you want those residuals. Does everybody know what residuals are? Can somebody say what residuals are? Rich, you were nodding.
Oh, yeah, I just think about like kind of the it's like a music royalty. When something gets reused, you get additional payments beyond just the payment for the recording gig.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Right. So if you had done a McDonald's ad, let's say you were a child in the 80s and you did a McDonald's ad, and today that ad is still running somewhere in the world. Could be in Asia someplace, could be here. Who knows? Somewhere in the world, the McDonald's ad is showing with your image from you as a child. You're still making bank because that's how the contracts were written back then. However, it's not the same today. Contracts today are not the same. They're not getting those kinds of residuals where you're getting mailbox money that just comes and you get a check for $10,000 every couple of months. Those contracts they stopped getting written that way about 20 years ago after a writer's strike. That's what really changed that. So today, really the reason you'd get it is because you want to be taken seriously as an actor in a city that it's important that's how you get your roles. Here, you'll be taken seriously if you are a professional, and that's what this training is doing. It's making you a professional. So we want you to be taken seriously, but that comes from skills and not earning a union card.
Stuck on the writer's strike. That
yes, about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm.
And why
did that affect it the way that it does?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that because I'm not really clear on all those details either.
Okay.
Does everybody know who Kevin Chamberlain is, the actor Kevin Chamberlain? If you have little kids in your life and ever had the Disney show, the Disney Channel on, there was a show called Jesse. He was Bertram the Butler on that. Is that ringing a bell now? Okay. So Kevin Chamberlain was the original Uncle Fester in the Addams Family musical on Broadway. He was the original Horton in Seussical on Broadway. He has 3 Tony Award nominations. He was in Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks. And he was, as I mentioned, Bertram the Butler in Jesse on the Disney Channel. And that ran for 5 years. So for an actor like him, who's used to doing 8 Broadway shows a week, that's a pretty good gig to be working on set with kids, and your hours are shorter because the kids have to have shorter hours by law. But anyway, that's Kevin Chamberlain. I went to high school with him back in New Jersey. He posted on Facebook not that long ago about receiving 11 residual checks in the same mail, and he was thinking, wow, I could be rich. I could buy all my friends Teslas. This could be amazing. And together they totaled $2.76. So residuals are not what they once were many years ago. Miley Flanagan, who is the voice of English language Naruto, if anybody knows that one, she's also a character actress, has been in a lot of stuff. She posted in Facebook that she had received a check for 11 cents, and then all of her union friends were posting images of their checks for a penny. For 2 pennies. So those residuals are not what they once were. However, on the non-union side, we do not get residuals, and we never have, but we do get contract renewals. And the contract renewals are usually whatever it paid to begin with. So I was doing, here's just an example. I did UCARE ads locally here for 19 years I was doing UCARE ads. And they'd have me do 1 or 2 a year. They air only in the Twin Cities. I guess for a brief while they had them airing in Western Wisconsin a little bit. And we're paid by what the usage is. So in this case, only local. And some of them were only radio and some of them were only TV. And I go in and I do one, and I get a check for $900 because my agent would get the 10%, so she'd keep the $100. And then at the same time, she's charging 15% on top of that to the client, so she's getting paid from both of us. Anyway, and they would only do a 6-month contract. They wanted to save money, so they would just do a 6-month contract. So 6 months later, they want to keep airing the same spot. I get another check for $900, and I didn't go back in. So you might think of that as being like residuals, but the technical term for it is it's a contract renewal, and it's not pennies. It's what I was paid originally. And that can happen over and over and over again. If they want to keep airing it, they will just send you another check.
I got a question for you about that. So I don't know how dated it was, but I was watching a video about doing audiobook narration. Mm-hmm. And I think they were talking about, you know, they just had so many sales from their Audible story they just did.
Yep.
Their check for that. Is that like residuals or is that completely different? Do they
completely
call that
different.
Something else?
That's completely different. And actually one of the classes that Dave teaches will address that. He'll be very thorough on that. But yeah, it's a completely different kind of thing. For audiobooks, you can kind of think of it a little bit as an hourly rate, which is different from, you know, non-broadcast and commercial work. So, but anyway, yeah, Dave's going to talk all about that. You're going to get me for 2 of these classes. You get Dave for 3 of them. And then most of you will always get me on your coaching calls. Once in a while, we shift that around for some reason if we have one, that we have Dave do one. But in general, you're going to get me on all your coaching calls. Anyway, so the upshot with the union is stay non unless you have some reason to join. And also you should know that there are a lot of talent who have earned their union card for one reason or another. Maybe they were in LA. Maybe they were in New York. Maybe that's the career they wanted for themselves, but perhaps their family hated it and they decided to move back to the Midwest. It happens. And so they've got their union card, but the top paying producers are not paying union rates. So what do? Well, many of them will declare themselves FICOR or financial core. Have you heard of this term, Mylene? If you're SAG, yeah. Do you want to explain what FICOR is or should I go ahead? No problem. I do like, interaction. So FICOR or Financial Corps means that you've earned your union card, but you're willing to take non-union work. And as you might imagine, the union hates that. They feel like, hey, we're only as strong as our members. But at the same time, the union's not doing anything to keep the jobs, the highest paying stuff booking here. They'll book in LA or something, talking about on camera stuff. And so people feel like, hey, I need to work, and the pay, my paycheck is the same. Why wouldn't I go ahead and, you know, call myself FICOR? That they have to literally change their status. They don't even have a union office here in the Twin Cities anymore. Now the closest one is in Chicago, but the talent would have to show up in person and say, I am so-and-so, and I declare myself FICOR. And then at the next big meeting, they are publicly shamed for that. And meanwhile, the producers are going, oh, good, I can use them again because, you know, my client insists that I work non-union. But the talent gets the same money in this market. Okay, it's not the same everywhere, but this is a really good market to be in. So there we have a whole bunch about union versus non-commercials versus industrial and how we're paid. So, but remember that if you're here, you want to be non-union mostly. If there's some reason to change, you'll change one day. And about that FICOR thing, one more thing about that. The actor John Voight, everybody know who he is?
Yeah.
John Voight, he is Angelina Jolie's dad, and he was in Mission Impossible and has had a very long film career. Anyway, he is FICOR. So a guy like him, yeah, he would be resented by, you know, the union talent in L.A. that are working mostly in restaurants. They would probably prefer that a high-paying guy like him would have some of that money go into their union coffers for their healthcare benefits and pensions and that kind of stuff. So, and also, Quentin Tarantino, he is FICOR for the Directors Guild. So, not popular. Alrighty, I'd like to, unless there's any questions about union versus non or any of that stuff, I'd like to move into the script analysis portion of the talk. No questions? All right. Grab the Invisalign script, if you would. But he has a lot of strange noise, so I'm going to go ahead and mute that. I can pipe up when needed. All right. In this Invisalign script, just look it over for a minute. Everybody just kind of read it to yourself out loud. I'll give you a minute to do that. Okay, so I am going to, you know, I think I'll take the first four people who were on this call this morning. So that was everybody but Patrick, actually. You joined a little bit late, Patrick, no offense. So, Leo, I'm going to have you begin, and then it will be Kim, and then Rich, and then Mylene, okay? And what I'm going to have you do, we're going to cold read this script. I'll have Leo begin. When I tell you to stop, it will be Kim's turn. When I tell Kim to stop, it will be Rich's turn. And when I tell Rich to stop, it will be Mylene's turn. And you'll just pick up and carry on from where the last person left off. Right? So that's how we're going to do it. Really, I just want to get four voices on the four parts, and then I'll talk all about why the four parts are the four parts. Alrighty, so this is Invisalign. So, Leo, go ahead and begin from the top, and then I'll tell you when to stop, and Kim can take over. Anytime.
Your smile says you're happy, confident. But if you're uncomfortable with your teeth, your smile could be saying just the opposite.
Okay, Kim?
Fortunately, there's Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces that's comfortable and removable for eating and brushing. Straighten your teeth little by little until a new smile emerges.
Okay, Rich?
Join the millions at Invisalign.com and arrange a free, no-obligation consultation with an experienced Invisalign provider and let the world see the real you. Invisalign.
Okay, Mylene.
Learn how to smile.
One more word.
Again.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you had the smallest part there. Okay, so the four parts are the four parts. So the bit that Leo read, your smile says you're happy, confident, down to opposite, right? Just those first two lines there. This is the setup. So mark that up, if you will. That's the setup. What is the job of the setup? Well, the setup is, what are we about to talk about? It's like if you walk into a room in the middle of someone's joke and you didn't hear the setup, none of it would make sense. So the setup needs to be very clear. What are we talking about? The scripts that I use for script analysis to me are very cut and dried. Some of them are not this obvious, but the setup will contain some kind of a complaint or a problem. This one is very explicit what the complaint is, what the problem is. You're uncomfortable with your teeth. Doesn't that suck? So there's a complaint, there's a problem in there. Some of them are more implied, but this one is very explicit. All right, then the part that Kim read, fortunately, there's Invisalign, and she read down to a new smile emerges. So 2.5 lines there in this case. This is the body of the script. We go from the setup to the body. In the body, you'll answer that complaint. You'll solve the problem. And the body will contain everything that's important to know about the product, what it's called, and what it does. Let me repeat that. In the body, we solve the problem or complaint, and the body contains all of the most important information about the product, what it is called, and what it does. Okay? Then the part Rich read, join the millions, down to simply Invisalign on the last line there. This is the resolve. The resolve will contain some kind of call to action, some kind of do this thing, take this action, verb this noun, right? Join the millions, right? This is a very explicit resolve because it tells you a lot of information to do here. But if this were a really established brand, I think Invisalign's been around 25 years or so and maybe not even national for 25 years, but if it were, they wouldn't need all that stuff. They would just need to remind you it exists. And that's why simply Invisalign on the last line there is part of the resolve. If it were a really established brand, all they would need to say is join the millions and, straighten your teeth little by little until a new smile emerges. Invisalign. And you see, if you kind of say it with that, I'm kind of doing Vanna White extending welcome arms on Invisalign. Then it's implied. Yeah, I remember Invisalign. I know how to spell it, and I know how to find it online, and I'll figure out where it is. Thanks for the reminder that it exists. So some resolves are very much implied. This one happens to be a very explicit one. Join the millions, blah, 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 Invisalign. And then the part that Mylene read at the bottom, learn how to smile again. Well, that is the button. The button is optional. Not every script has a button. This one does. Sometimes they're funny. This one is not. This one.
Why is it called the button?
I don't know. Just copywriters call it the button. Copywriters call it the button. This one will bookend with the beginning. That's what it's just kind of, you know, wrapping it up like a little button. Your smile says you're happy, confident. Learn how to smile again. You see how that kind of wraps it all up? Learn how to smile again. That's your button. Not every script has a button.
Is it almost like a tagline?
No, a tag is different. A tag would be something like, with locations throughout the Midwest in, you know, Robbinsdale, Rosedale, and, you know, Eden Prairie. You know, that kind of thing would be a tag. All right. Okay, let's put this one aside for a minute. We're going to come back to it. Now, if you would, go to the new under Smart White, the bread ad. All right. Give you some time with that. And I want you to figure out your setup, body, resolve, and the optional button. Is there one or isn't there one? And I'm just going to mute myself while you figure that out. I'll give you a couple minutes, okay?
I'm sorry, which one are we going to?
New Wonder Smart White. That was one of the other scripts I sent. I can resend it real quick if you don't have it. Sometimes it's useful to try it out with your physical.
Check my email.
Okay. I can resend if you like. It was in the same email where the Invisalign one was. Okay. Sometimes it's useful to try it out loud because your body won't lie to you. And sometimes your brain does. So try it out loud, mark it up. And Kim, if you need me to resend real quick, I can do that. Just let me know. Okay. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm going to mute myself while you look it over. Practice it out loud and mark up your setup, your body, your resolve, and your optional button.
Please may you resend it to me.
Absolutely. Coming to you.
Thank you.
Okay, Kim, you should have that in a few seconds. Need another few seconds? I know, Kim, you just got it. Are you everybody's ready? Okay. Yeah. So what do we think is the setup in the script?
I'm going to say the setup is where it starts in the first paragraph where it says, you'll always wonder about your kids, ending in new wonder smart white.
So I'm confused. What's the setup? And what's the body? I mean, you think the setup goes all the way to new wonder smart white?
In the first sentence, yes.
So from you wonder, does she still think boys are icky all the way down to...
No. Okay. So for some reason, I just disregarded the you wonders, the first three, and just went straight to that. You'll always wonder about your kids. That's where I started off.
The snake, it would have bit ya. All right. Who else? Who else? What do we think is the setup then?
I was going to go with starting with the first you up at the top and ending with kids.
Okay. Read that out loud for me, Rich, from you wonder, from the beginning down to the part you just said.
Okay. You wonder. Does she still think boys are icky? You wonder, what's up with his hair? You wonder, does he really think he can fly? You always wonder about your kids.
You hear how you changed when you said you'll always wonder about your kids?
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, doing it out loud can really help. Who had that? Who had that same answer? Everybody? Yeah. If you don't try it out loud, it can fool you. This one can fool you. If you do it out loud, your body tells you where the shift is. So, okay. So did anybody have the first three wonders as the setup?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah, Miley.
But yeah. I mean, but all the way up to the kids. It was part of the setup. I just kept going.
You included part of the body in the setup. So everybody had the same answer. Everybody try it out loud.
At the same time, or mute ourselves?
It'll probably be quite a cacophony, but let's try it.
You wonder. Does she wonder. Boys are icky? You wonder, what's up with his hair? You wonder, does he really think he can fly? You always wonder about your kids.
And, well, I think we only heard Mylene, because that's how Zoom works. Just like it, one person, it just works that way in Zoom. But... did you see your physicality when you did You'll Always Wonder About Your Kids? You threw your hand up. Like you knew, your body knew you were onto something different. Yeah, so always try them out loud so you can see where the shifts are. These transitions are important. The reason why this is so important to do, by the way, it's not because it's an intellectual exercise. It's because when you have to voice a script, it's always going to be a cold read. You're always going to get, you know, maybe a maximum of 10 minutes to look it over before you're meant to perform it. And so you have to have quick ways to figuring out what those transitions are and have physicality at the transitions, like the way Mylene just threw her hand up at You'll Always Wonder About Your Kids. Her body told her something. Her brain was tricking her because of the words in there, you wonder, you wonder, you wonder. You know, I think you all got tricked by your smart brains and realizing that we got to get to the heart of it. Okay, so I'm saying that the setup is the first three you wonders. Your body is You'll Always Wonder About Your Kids. Now, the body contains all of the most important information about the product. So where does the body finish at?
After vitamin D?
Yeah, vitamin D. I thought everybody was afraid to answer now. But that's right. That's all the most important information. The fiber, the calcium, the vitamin D. This is a healthy product, they're saying. Right. So
sorry, just a quick question. So these are not grouped into paragraphs. So it's not like writing a story when you're a child and you have the beginning, the middle, and the end. This is something that you figure out as you're going along in order to make sense of it.
Well, there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. And
yeah.
Your button could be kind of a ta-da, you know, beginning, middle, end, ta-da. But no, they're not going to format it to help you like that. They just write it the way they write it. Often they'll write it just as a block because then they know exactly by the look of it on the page, they'll know that that is 30 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever it's meant to be. Did I answer that fully? Is that what you meant, Kim? Okay, good. All right, so we've established that the body, containing all the most important information about this product, ends at vitamin D. So now let's work backwards. Does this script have a button? Yes, what is the button?
Always wonder.
Always wonder.
Always wonder. So by default, the resolve is?
New wonder, smart one.
Yeah. And Kim, I don't know if you know this know this brand, Wonder. Do they have Wonder Bread in Zimbabwe? It's a really, it's probably a 120-year-old product in the U.S. It's bread that probably little kids like more. This smart white version of it, they're trying to say, oh, we have the healthy adult version now. But Wonder Bread is a really old brand in the U.S. And so they don't need to go on and on and on with a long resolve like they did in the Invisalign script. They just need to remind you that it exists. And there's an implicit, you know, they're implying, hey, come get it. And you can know, because we know the brand, okay, it's going to be on the lower shelves. It's going to have little balloons all over the bag. You know, it's just a well-known brand.
Well, funny enough, I do actually remember reading this when we got your email, so I don't know where my copy is, but when I first started reading it, I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had to keep reading, and then it said whole wheat, and I figured it was bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wouldn't know it if you, mm-hmm. I guess it's not worldwide.
No.
Yeah, but next time you go to the grocery store, you can just.
I'll see it.
Yeah. And also, the video of it is very nice. I mean, the commercial for this, I can send you the link later to look at the video of this ad. It's very sweet. There's, you know, a child is jumping from one bed to the other with a cape on, and it's just very cute. Anyway, so does this all make sense? Why script analysis? Why you need to do it? And not just that I'm giving you an intellectual exercise. This all makes sense. Go ahead, Mylene.
Yeah, just curious if the resolve, you said it's a call to action, and it's a call to action, a reminder too. Could it be that the resolve sometimes is just the name of the brand?
Yes, because they're implying, you know, it's kind of like baked in, to make a pun there. So let me show you how that might go, and I'm going to do some physicality. I know you can't see me because I don't have a camera on this device, but it's got the fiber of 100% whole wheat, the calcium of 8 ounces of milk, and vitamin D. New Wonder Smart White. Always wonder. Do you kind of see how when I said the New Wonder Smart White, I did these welcoming hands? You probably could feel it, that was the resolve. Did that make sense? Yes?
Change in pitch and intensity.
Well, I don't like to think of it as change in pitch and intensity, because if I only think of it that way, it would read false. Instead, I think about what it is I'm trying to accomplish, which is, isn't this wonderful? Come get it. So it's more what is my internal monologue there, and not so much what pitch do I want to relay. Make sense? Okay.
Yep. Well,
this will make much more sense as we go along. All right, now let's go back to the Invisalign script. So there's a little bit more to it than that, than just that simple find your setup body resolve and button. You've already
marked. Sarah?
Yep. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, this is Matt. I don't think I have that. I don't think I have. I have the one that you, the scripts that you sent over, but the ones you guys are reading, I don't have that one.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and send that to you again, too. So stand by. I'm going to mute myself while I do that.
Okay.
All right, so that will be to you any moment now. Actually, I'm kind of thinking, because I really want you to have that in front of you, Patrick, to take notes on. So everybody, let's take a very short break. Let's take like 2.5 minutes. All right? And then I'll meet you back here shortly. First one back, Kim. I see you. I see you're back. Oh, there's Leo. Yeah. I don't know if Rich and Patrick are back yet because their camera's not on.
We are here.
So I have the emails that I've sent you. Please check your spam regularly or create a rule in your email to make sure that mine don't go to your spam, because I know it seems like, oh, I'm getting your emails and, you know, for sure your stuff is not landing in my spam, but it does sometimes. I've had that happen with back and forth emails with students that have suddenly gone to my spam. So check yours. I've sent you about 6 so far about this class with scripts and information and links and that kind of stuff, videos. So who did we lose? We lost Mylene. Let me give her a minute to return. You got it, Patrick? Did you be able to get it and print it?
Yeah, I'm printing it right now. I got the Invisalign, and did you send, there's like 2 other things that you send?
Oh, I've sent you lots of stuff, yeah.
Okay, I'm, they're printing right now. You know, I did get them.
Okay.
I did get them, they're printing it out right now, so I got you. I'm listening too.
Okay, I don't know what happened to Mylene. Stand by one moment, I'm going to text her. Okay, then. So looking back again at this Invisalign script, the next thing that I would do after I figured out my setup, body resolve, and button is I want to go through and just kind of mark some physicality for myself. Facial expression, typically. Everyone has their own sweet spot of what their physicality is best. Some people like to wiggle their hips, their knees, nodding their head, shaking their head, that kind of stuff. Most people, it's a combination of body movement and facial expression. For me, it's a lot of facial expression. So when I see this script and I've already figured out my setup, my body, my resolve, the next thing I want to do is go through and write in some reminders for myself. So right at the beginning, your smile says you're happy, confident. Well, I would just draw a little smiley face above the word smile, because when you smile, it changes the shape of your resonant chamber, your face, and that's why people can hear your smile when you're talking with a friend on the phone, right? So your smile says you're happy, confident. You can hear that smile, right? So draw a little smiley above the word smile. Then in this next bit, but if you're uncomfortable with your teeth, your smile could be saying just the opposite. Well, that's kind of sad. So I would draw a little sad face above the word uncomfortable. I would probably write in SMH. Does everybody know what SMH means? Shaking my head. You're uncomfortable with your teeth. So I'm both frowning and shaking my head. Physicality really helps. Your smile could be saying just the opposite. Well, I know I want to go down on the word opposite. So I'm going to make sure that I go up on just the opposite. So I'll draw a little arcing arrow above that. Just the opposite. Then we get into, fortunately, there's Invisalign. Well, the first time I say a product name, I definitely want to give it a little shiny glow. So I would circle that. Sometimes, depending on my mood, I might make a little cloud around it or draw little stars, that kind of stuff. This is very subjective. You're going to find your own way for how you want to mark up your copy, but it's important that you do. You want to physically be touching your copy like that. It makes a huge difference. So little shiny glow around there. The clear alternative to braces that's comfortable and removable for eating and brushing. Well, that's a mouthful. Again, no pun intended. But we've got 2 word chunks in a row there. Comfortable and removable is one, and eating and brushing is the other. So what I want to do is I want to make sure I bracket comfortable and removable, and I would hyphenate them as well. Hyphenate and bracket comfortable and removable. And I would also hyphenate and bracket eating and brushing. Sure, when I look at it, I know I'm smart. I get the meaning. I have no problem with it. But you get up in front of people and there can be distractions, knowing that there's a client listening, and you can screw it up. So more marks are better than less marks. Pro talent make more marks than newer people. So get used to making more marks. Is what happens if you don't make those marks. Well, you could get up there and it would go, the clear alternative to braces that's comfortable and removable for eating and brushing, which loses the meaning and sounds stupid, right? So I got a problem there. Straighten your teeth little by little. Well, I would hyphenate little by little too. I probably wouldn't bracket it. It's a little bit less of a word chunk to me than the previous ones, but I would hyphenate those. Join the millions at Invisalign.com. Well, I would probably just underscore Invisalign.com. Again, it's completely subjective. You'll find your own way. To me, I've noticed that an underline sounds different from a circle, which sounds different from a cloud, which sounds different from a double underscore, a squiggly underscore, or any other types of marks you might make. They're all different to me in my mind. So you'll find your own way. A free, no obligation. Well, I might even hyphenate no obligation. Why not? That's a word chunk. Let the world see the real you. Invisalign. Well, that last Invisalign, that's definitely going to get a cloud or hearts. And then learn how to smile again. I'd probably draw a little smiley above that. And then when you read it out loud, you just kind of follow your marks and you're good.
Oh, perfect.
You're back, Mylene. I'm going to give you the recording from this class so you'll be able to follow along and see what you missed in there, okay? So we're still working on script analysis, where we're looking at the Invisalign script. Any questions about all of this stuff so far?
Yeah, Sarah. You said obligation, constellation. Did you, were we supposed to put brackets around them two words?
Again, it's very subjective. I'm just showing you the ways that I might do it. I would hyphenate no obligation.
Okay.
I wouldn't include consultation as part of that. I would just do no obligation because that's no obligation is describing the type of consultation.
Okay.
What you want to do is mark it so that you get the proper meaning out of it, which is why I was saying to hyphenate comfortable and removable and hyphenate eating and brushing. Sometimes people see an and they think they're in a list, and it's not really a list here. It's just two qualities that they're describing. And this is all because you don't get that long to look at a script. They want you to be ready to perform it quickly. And why don't they get you the script way ahead? Well, because they don't get their deadlines way ahead. That's how they like to do it. You know, the copywriter probably finished writing it at 3 a.m. and they got it approved by 8 a.m. when the client woke up. It might have had another rewrite after that. And then they give it to you at 10 a.m. and really they're just finished with it. They like doing it that way. They like the spontaneity of the voiceover talent. But that means you have to have some tools to quickly look it over and decide what's what in it. And that's why I'm going through this whole script analysis thing.
So they're not going to tell you basically the mood on the scripts when you get them?
Sometimes when you have an audition, they'll have specs. And the specs can tell you a mood or a type or what they're looking for. But by the time you book it, the specs are gone because the specs are you. You are the specs. They want exactly how you did it at the audition. So, yeah, they might tell you something else about it. Sure, and you can ask questions. But generally, they want you to be able to get a pretty good handle on it and get it out in a pretty fast manner before they then shape it up. And on all your individual coaching sessions, you know, I'm going to take you through all that so it will make complete sense and you won't be surprised or shocked or how any of that stuff works. And the other thing I want to say is sometimes when I teach script analysis, I have students who hate my terminology. And that is fine. Of all the terminology that I use to describe this setup, body, resolve, and button, the only one of those that a copywriter is likely to refer to is the word button. Everything else, they don't think that you know. They don't know that you know that terminology that they work with. So they might just say, oh, let's go back to the third line in the script. And, you know, they'll just kind of talk about it that way. So for you marking it up, if you hate my terminology, set up, body, resolve, and button, don't worry about it. Come up with your own way of describing it. Who was it? Was it Kim that said something like, was it 1, 2, 3, ta-da? What was that?
No, you said that to me.
Yeah,
you
can.
The ta-da part.
Beginning, middle,
yeah.
End. Right, beginning, middle,
yes,
end.
Beginning, middle,
that's
end.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine. I had a student once who, boy, she said, this feels like 7th grade language arts, and I hated 7th grade language arts. And that's fine. She didn't need to be good at 7th grade language arts. She just needed to be able to find the transitions, and she had no problem doing that. So the only thing to keep in your mindset is button. If you like setup, body, resolve in your mind, just keep using that terminology. But if you hate it, you know, beginning, middle, end, ta-da, 1, 2, 3, jazz hands, whatever you want to call it, is fine. As long as you can find the transitions. Okay? Good so far, everyone? Okay. go ahead and just take a look at version 2 now, if you would, of that Invisalign script, and just play around with it. See if you can figure out the setup, the body, the resolve, and is there or isn't there a button. Is that pretty clear? Get a little more time?
So what are we looking for again?
So you're looking at version 2 of the Invisalign scripts?
Okay, yeah, I got that. What are we looking for?
And you're looking for your setup, your body, your resolve, and determining whether or not there's a button on this one, as the button is optional.
Okay.
So this one has more implied, more implication and less specificity, I'd say. Okay. Anybody want to talk about it? What do they see?
I do have a question. Maybe you could expand on what would make someone realize the difference between a resolve and a button.
What is the button will either be funny or it will bookend with the beginning.
Like a call to action, and the button is like, you said, the only thing I have in my notes is the button is optional, but
yep.
Is the button like just another call to action or...
No. No, but it has a different purpose. The purposes of a button is it's, it can be either funny or it can be a bookend with the beginning of the script.
How can I hear anything?
You can't hear? Is your speaker on? Well, I guess if you can't hear me, then you didn't hear that. Everybody else heard that, though, right?
Got it.
Okay, I heard it.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that Mylene is up to speed. I want to move along to the next thing.
Before we leave that, mm-hmm. So this button topic.
Yep.
When I read it out loud, I thought I found myself wanting to do something different with that last sentence. And in my mind, I thought, well, there's the button. But at the same time, that's also like a call to action, so to speak. Like, hey, people have done this. You should too.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really finish that button or no button topic.
Right. I would say this script does not have a button.
Okay.
There's nothing funny in it. And that last line does not bookend with the beginning. So there's no button in this one. That's just part of the resolve, the part that you just said.
So an example of a button, if you were to add one onto there, would be repeating possibly something even from the first, from the setup. Like, your smile says a lot about you. And I'm not saying that would be good in there. I'm just saying that would just be an example of a button.
Yeah. I can write a bad button on the fly, too. Let's see. Hundreds of thousands of people already have discovered Invisalign. Maybe it's time you're one of them. So smile! You know, stupid. But that would be a button. It bookends at the beginning. Okay. Kim, do you mind being my volunteer guinea pig for this next thing we're going to do?
No, that's fine.
Do you mind? Okay. So if you could go to the script packet that I sent you. It's called Essential Class Essential Scripts All Weeks.
Yes.
See that one?
Yeah.
Go to the ready4k.com script, which is page 15, I believe. And everybody, you can grab that if you like, just you can follow along.
I got it.
Okay. So I want to give you some time to look that over, make some decisions about it. Everyone, you go ahead and take a look at it yourselves. Everybody kind of mark it up. I'm going to have Kim actually be the guinea pig here.
I'm sorry. Which one was that again? I'm sorry.
It's in the packet called Essential Scripts All Weeks, and it's ready4k.com.
Page 14.
You show it as page 14 in your packet? Okay. I'll just give you a couple minutes. I'm going to mute myself, but go ahead and mark it up. Ask questions if you have them. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to mute myself. Are you close? I'm not expecting a perfect performance. I just want to use you as my guinea pig.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to go. I mean, I yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, you didn't need to be in your studio for this class today. I want you to, you know, if you can, be in there when we do your individual coaching sessions. But I just kind of want to mock it up as much as possible. Would you be able to stand where you are? And can you tape the script up or... somehow have it up high so it's about eye level.
Yeah.
This would be like having it on your coffee stand. Okay.
Sure.
You can tape it up to the wall or something where you can still see it. That would be awesome.
Oh, not in front of the camera.
Well, I'd like to. It helps. It's useful at first to have
okay.
that.
Okay. There we go.
She's got her script ready. All right, I'm going to take a look at you, and you look perfectly dressed for a voiceover talent. It looks like the top you have, it doesn't look like noisy fabric. So if you wildly gesticulate, we won't hear your swishing noises of your fabric, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people feel like they need to like men, they'll dress up in a starched shirt or something, and they have to take it off at a session, and hopefully they have an undershirt on. Women, it tends to be, well, for me anyway, it's jewelry. I always have to take my earrings off. Those earrings look small. They don't look like they'd be very noisy.
They're AirPods, so it's okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I just see little things there.
Yeah.
Guys tend to have keys in their pockets, change in their pockets, that kind of stuff. And since you need to be able to use your physicality, all that stuff, you've got to put it aside. I know one woman who was made to take off her pants at a session at Audio Ruckus because she wasn't thinking about it when she got dressed for her session, and she was wearing parachute pants. So, I mean, luckily she had on her son's long johns underneath. But who wants to take their pants off at a session? Anyway, okay. So the other thing I want you to do is I want you to have your hands higher than elbow height. So lift them up like you're juggling, kind of. Yeah, they don't have to even be that high. Yeah. So that was hands at shoulder height, which is fine. Yeah. Some talent literally have them up in the field goal position or the stick 'em up position constantly and wave them around up there. Oh. I'm just saying the sweet spot is about elbow level, or, you know, and then being able to move them, you know, like juggling your hands. And even if you're not accustomed to moving your hands while you read, humor me, because this makes a huge difference in your voiceover work to add in your physicality.
Okay.
So I want you to go ahead and give this script a go. You guys, the reason why I'm having her do this is what I'll want you to do on your individual coaching sessions. I just want you to see how I have her standing. She's able to use her hands. Her clothing is appropriate, and so on. Okay, so go ahead and give it a read through whenever you're ready.
Good morning, class. Welcome to your first day of kindergarten. Is there anyone a little scared to be here today? Well, you know what? It's perfectly normal to be scared. In fact, well, you should be. Studies show one half of you are not fully prepared to be here. So for many of you, this is just the beginning of a long struggle. Because when you start out behind, it can be really hard to catch up, which means you're less likely to graduate and get a decent paying job, more likely to end up on welfare, and I hate to say it, more likely to end up in prison too. But once again, I'd like to welcome you to kindergarten. Of course, no teacher would ever say this to a group of kids, and with your help, they won't have to. Call and tell your legislator that you're scared for our children. This is a problem we can fix. Visit ready4k.com. That's ready, the number 4k.com.
Yeah, very nice. Boy, good physicality. Did you see? Can you all see that she was really moving around a lot? That's awesome. You have your mic in front of you. I want you to move, you know, everything but your head.
Okay.
Kind of thing. But I'm going to note you, and I'm going to have you go again, okay? But you can,
okay,
you can sit if you want to take notes here. So you guys could tell the transitions, right, especially when she got to the resolve. She's got a lot of setup in here, but there's still transitions within it. So good morning, class. When you do it again this time, Kim, I'm going to have you do what is called a read-in, and this is a practice that everyone should do as long as you live for the rest of your life. When you do a read-in, that's, you're setting the actor's moment before. So a read-in would not be words that lead into the copy, like, I was thinking, what a good morning, class. You know, that would not work. That would not work at all, because that's kind of over-intellectualizing the idea of it. It's to set your mood and your mode. So instead of that, something like, hey, wow, hi, kids, yeah. Good morning, class. Just something that sets the actor's moment before. You need a little space.
Would you say that out loud?
You would. You would say it out loud. And you leave a little space so that it can be easily edited out, either by you or whoever is editing. So a little space is really important. A really good one, a very useful one, is often, you know? But the space is very important because it has to be edited out. Okay. What else? Oh, you had a very minor little stumble when you said, is anyone a little scared to be here today? So here's how you handle stumbles. Everyone will stumble at some point. So don't ever feel like you need to apologize or explain. You don't. But you would simply pause and go back to the beginning of the sentence that the error happened in and pick it up again. And that makes for an easy edit, whoever is doing the editing, whether that's you or somebody else. You don't need to say, oh, I'm sorry, let me go again. Well, there's nothing to apologize for, and it's a time waster for anybody that's editing. So don't apologize, don't explain. Just go back to the beginning of the sentence. Okay. Now, all that said, I'm going to give you another note before you go again, Kim. And in this first chunk, let's make the kids you're talking to really cute. Really cute little kids. All right? Now, the conceit of it is that you're talking to little kids. Of course, it's the parents that are really paying attention. But that's kind of the fun of it. So you're going to talk to little kids at the beginning. Let's age them as you go along, shall we? Maybe when we get to, in fact, well, you should be. Well, let's age them. Should we make them, I don't know, sixth graders? And then they're maybe 11th graders at the end? I don't know how many grades you had in Zimbabwe. We have 12 in the U.S. So 12 graders are, that's
yeah,
the last.
Yeah. Oh.
So anyway, so we're going to, in your mind, and in your, you know, in your mind's eye, picture these cute little kids devolving into unruly tweens and then teens that you really want to help. And then at the end, but once again, I'd like to welcome you to kindergarten. Let's make them adorable again. And on this read, we're going to leave off that last paragraph. I think that last paragraph would be a different voice anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, but let's just leave that part off and just do the first chunk, all right? So that's a lot. I've given you a lot to remember there. Read in, how to fix an error, talking to cute kids that that age and get smelly and in trouble. Any questions before you go again?
No.
All right. I know that I gave you a lot to remember. So take your time if you want to review any of those notes. And then when you're ready, go again with your body movement again.
Hey, kids. Good morning, class. Welcome to your first day of kindergarten. Is anyone a little scared to be here today? Well, you know what? It's perfectly normal to be scared. In fact, well, you should be. Studies show one half of you are not fully prepared to be here. So for many of you, this is just the beginning of a long struggle. Because when you start out behind, it can be really hard to catch up, which means you're less likely to graduate and get a decent paying job. Which means you're less likely to graduate and get a decent paying job, more likely to end up on welfare. And I hate to say it, more likely to end up in prison too. But once again, I'd like to welcome you to kindergarten.
Wonderful. That was wonderful, Kim. So you guys all heard how she did her read-in. It set her mood. She began the script. She was talking to the cute little kids. They definitely got troubled, the kids did, as she went along. She had one little minor error. She fixed it perfectly. And she went back to the adorable kids at the end. She followed every single direction I gave her. That was awesome. So, yeah. Anybody have any questions or comments about it before I continue? Nope, all makes sense? Okay. That's what I'm going to have you do on your calls. You're all going to, you know, you will want to have a read-in. That's how I'd like you to fix any errors. And the physicality of it was wonderful.
So just one question. I mean, obviously you've been doing this for a while, because when I looked at this, I didn't see anything of what you said. And then when you said it, it almost made perfect sense because it made it more interesting. So there's a creative aspect to it of looking at it and trying to make it more interesting.
Yeah, and that comes from training and experience. And you're getting the training and you will have experience. I've been doing it for 30 plus years. So, yeah, I can look at a script and I see things quick. But you will too. It's just, you know, it'll get easier as you go along. But terrific. Okay. I'm ready to move on to my next thing, unless anybody has any questions or comments about that. Okay, moving on. Yeah, so what I had Kim do, that's what I'd like you to do on your sessions. If you have your home studio set up at that point and you're able to record yourself, that's great. Then you'll get some audio right from the beginning. Hopefully by week 2 or 3, you'll be doing that. But if you don't, then you'll just stand there just the way Kim did. you know, tape it to the wall and you're good. I'm sending you some homework, and the homework, if you don't have your home studio set up, you can do that on your phone at first. That's fine. You'll get that this afternoon. Please do watch for emails from me, because that's how I'm going to send you scripts and videos that I want you to watch, and other things that I think are important for your training. The homework, I'd like you to have that to me by Thursday, if you could. That gives me time to get through everybody's before Saturday, because I will evaluate it and turn it around to you. Are you all in the habit of listening to the radio or watching TV? Sort of, kind of. Does anybody watch regular TV? I mean, not Netflix and not Amazon Prime. Regular TV with commercials on it?
Sometimes, but I honestly tend to turn the commercials down, because I find it's always about prescription medication.
Who else? Someone else was speaking up there.
I don't really watch it so much, but I did see in your packet that iSpot ads or something like that. That was interesting for me to look at, just to even see what kinds of things am I interested in. If I could choose, which ones might I do? I hadn't really thought about it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, if you do watch regular TV and you get up to get a snack, turn up the audio and just tell your family that you have to do your homework. You need to hear what the trends are. And then if you can't stand to do that, if it's all, you know, Viagra ads or something, or any kind of medication ads, then like Rich said, go to iSpot.tv and just be in the habit of listening to ads there. That's where new ads get uploaded. As soon as they've aired somewhere, they upload them there. It's an industry site. You do not have to create an account or log in to iSpot. When you first go there, it looks as though you're supposed to, but you don't. You can just, you know, hey, I want to see an Acura ad or whatever it may be. Just look for it, or McDonald's, or whatever you want to do, and watch them, because these trends change all the time and you need to be up on the trends. The same way you wouldn't have the same haircut for 30 years. Not to change who you are as a talent, but to be current, right? Okay, so that's for iSpot. Anybody listen to radio, actual regular terrestrial radio? No? Rich does? Eileen does? Patrick, I can see your head, but I can't tell if you're nodding or what, because you kind of went, yeah. Do you listen to radio?
Say that again.
Do you listen to radio? Well, the reason why I'm asking about if you listen to radio or not, there are about four distinct categories of types of ads on the radio. And some are useful to you as a voiceover talent, and some are not. So if you can tell that it's an agency voiceover ad, it's for Target, or it's for a grocery store or something, that is useful to you. That's the high-paid voiceover stuff that you're being trained to do. But DJs at radio stations are assigned to voice copy, and that gig is very different from what you're being trained to do. And I worked in radio, so I'm this is not to denigrate radio people, it's just a different skill set. So for example, you'd go in and either before or after your shift, you'd look in your inbox and see what you're assigned to do, and you have to turn it around very quickly. You get probably 1 to 2 reads, and radio people tend to all have great voices, and they can rip and read, and they can read for time. So even if the salesperson, and the salesperson, not the copywriter, has written 70 seconds worth of copy, that radio personality can get it in at 59 seconds and get music behind it, sound effects if needed, and get it on the air in about 5 to 7 minutes. And that's that gig. It's a completely different skill set than what you need for agency voiceover work, which is what I'm training you to do, the high-paid stuff. Also, in radio, they have a lot of endorsement ads. If you listen to any talk radio, you will hear a ton of endorsement ads. And that's because they get the radio personalities to work for less than they should by promising them that they'll make more money by doing endorsements. Does anybody listen to WCCO, for example? I used to do traffic reports on the John Williams show. And John was really smart. He would, if there's something that he wanted, he would just tell the salesperson, I want this. Like, he moved to the area from Chicago, and he wanted an alarm system. Next thing you know, he's doing endorsements for Alarm Force, because then he gets a free alarm system. Wants to buy jewelry for his wife. Next thing you know, he's doing ads for Wicks and Jewelers. But it's always you know, John Williams for Wicks and Jewelers, or whoever the personality is. Donna Valentine for Zero Res Carpet Cleaning. Everybody got granite countertops in their kitchens for a few years. About 10 years ago, you heard those. Or the Sleep Number Better, any of those kinds of things. Personality-driven radio ads, endorsements are not voiceover. All right? It's a completely different ballgame. And certainly the DJs, that's a completely different ballgame too. What they have in common with voiceover is that there's a mic in place. And the other thing that radio people bring to the table when they attempt to do voiceover is they tend to have really good mic technique. Their heads will not waver from the mic. And that is something that other voiceover talent could really learn from, because it makes a big difference how present you are on the mic. And that's something I'll work with you on quite a lot in all your individual sessions. I sent you a whole schedule of when I want you to set up your calls, and I know that some of you did. My plan is to at least do the first few of them on Zoom. If you have a different preference or need, we can do that. It can be Skype or it can be just phone. You don't necessarily always have to have your camera on. It's useful at first, just so I can see your physicality and how you're using your mic and all that kind of stuff. But because we're skipping Labor Day weekend, I changed the schedule a little bit, because normally you would do two sessions in weeks 4 and 5, but because we're kind of going a sixth week, I'm having you do one every week and then two in the last week. Is that all making sense? Okay. Did everybody watch the video of Santa Claus that I sent? Truth. That is based on truth. Every single thing they said to Santa Claus in the booth, that happens. Maybe not all in the same sessions, but that happens. One of our guys that we've brought in to teach at our voice acting expos, a guy named Gary Grooms, he was an LA talent. He used to apprentice with the famous Don LaFontaine, who was from Minnesota originally, by the way. He had a gig where it wasn't the same as the one in the humorous video that I sent you, but it was a Home Depot ad, and he just had to voice ho, 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 and then, like he's falling off the roof. And they made him do that over and over again for an hour, where he's going, ho, 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 a million times. And he really resented it, and he was really upset until every year that they aired that, which was about 7 or 8 years. At the holidays, he always got a new check for $25,000. So it's like, oh, okay, I guess that was all right then. But I will send you more videos, and they're mostly humorous, but there's also lessons packed in there for reasons. Let's just leave it at that. And I'm going to send you the audio from this session. So Mylene, you'll be able to catch up on what you missed when your connection was lost. So you can just skip through until you find that place.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No problem. And for everyone else, it's review, it's reference. You know, we learn by repetition, so you can certainly just listen to it all again. Any questions or comments for today?
When I was gone, I was just curious, did you guys go over setup, body, resolve on the ready4k.com?
No, not on that part. I had Kim do that kind of by herself as she reviewed the script.
Okay.
What I had people do, and you'll see it when you listen, it was additional marking of the script, like how to put in physical reminders for yourself to make the copy more lifelike. So you'll see all that.
Would this script have a setup and body? And because I was, as Red she K? Was doing it, I was thinking about it, and I was like, this one's not as upfront as the other ones.
You're right. It's more implied. And in fact, I would posit that the whole chunk that I had her repeat is all set up. There's still transitions within there, but that is all set up. And the secondary voice on it, of course, no teacher would ever say this, that bit, that's where we have our body and resolve. Okay? So sometimes your part of a script may be all set up, but there's still transitions in there. And you could hear that she still found them, right? Good. Make sense, everyone? Okay. That was a good observation. Well, I'm ready to wrap up unless there is anything else anyone wants to say, questions or comments for today, or
everyone's clear on what you are to do next?
Yep. Everyone's still muted except Patrick.
Basically,
I'm here.
We started talking at the same time.
All right. Well, was there anything else then?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say it's just our homework that's due on Thursday. And once, you know, like make sure that we book our session for the week.
Yep.
Okay.
And you can go in. I think somebody's already done this. Somebody went in and went ahead and scheduled, you know, their next five sessions or something each week. That's fine. I think it lets you go about a month out, so maybe they were only able to put in three or four.
Yep. Cuts off in September.
Okay. So you'll be able to do the rest of them next week, theoretically. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, super fun to work with you guys. There is one more person in this class, but she lost power. She texted me last night that she didn't know if she'd be able to join or not. So she will definitely be having to follow this audio in real time, and that I'll just get with her and make sure that everything makes sense if she had any additional questions. All right, wonderful. I look forward to talking with you all on your individual session times.
Thank all you, right. Sarah.
Have a great week.
Thank you. Thank nice you. To meet you all.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.